Please turn with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. One verse before us tonight, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. My subject tonight is blessing upon blessing. Blessing upon blessing. It is really a divine beatitude. It is a heavenly beatitude, blessing. And the divine of old, they call this verse the great thanksgiving. The great thanksgiving. But I want to stick to the subject I have in mind, blessing upon blessing. This is a verse I believe most people in this congregation may know it by heart. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. 24 words in English, 22 words in the Greek text. But it is a heartfelt text, really. I am going to use many words, but I mean it, because it is so packed. There are great spiritual truths for our souls, for our comfort, for our admonition, for our instruction. It is a heartfelt verse. It is intense. Really, you cannot read it with a hard, cold heart. It is just impossible. Blessed be the God. It is a fanfare of praise. It is doctrinal. When I say doctrinal, it means there is a lot of teaching for us in the verse. It is doxological. What do I mean? It is a verse of praise. And I believe it is one of the verses who are telling us we should not sing psalms only. It is here from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We can sing also hymns sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, where Christ, his blood, and all his work are expressed for the believers. But it is also a theological verse. It is a majestic verse, but it is also a practical verse. So all these words, I mean them, because it is packed with great spiritual truth. But my dear friends, Ephesians 1 verse 3 is the heading of the rest of the letter. So if tonight I may challenge myself first and each one of us, you understand this verse, you have grasped the rest of the letter, because the 24 words in English given to us here are really the heading that will be going to be unpacked. It is so loaded. It is going to be unpacked for the rest, in the rest of the six chapters, 155 verses, as Paul speaks to us from a prison. Remember that. He is writing this letter from a prison. Oh, my dear friends, this verse is a part of one of the second longest sentences in the Bible, or in the New Testament at least. The first one, I think it's from the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, but this is the second longest, verse 3 to 14 in the Greek text, and King James translators have done good work here. You don't see a dot from verse 3 to verse 14. So they respected the burst, the fanfare of praise as Paul is thinking about election, about salvation, about redemption, about adoption, about being a child of God, about the gospel. He couldn't stop. 202 words in the Greek text. Just one sentence as he speaks to us about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christians are rich beyond description. Why? We are rich with the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes out through the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Humanly speaking, or if it comes to material, physical, earthly possessions, Paul, the great apostle, the great theologian, could be considered really as a destitute man, as a poor man, really. But you remember what he said? Poor, yet we make many rich. Having nothing, yet having everything. That's amazing. That's amazing for every believer. Having nothing, but having everything. Why? Because we have all the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may I draw your attention tonight? Look, behold, what the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God, has done for the church. And this verse should really fuel, energize, invigorate your life and my life to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. So this one verse is really blessing upon blessing. And this is so important for us as we think about it. But without even giving you my headings before, remember this is an amazing Trinitarian verse. You don't need to turn anywhere. The Trinity is here before you in one verse. Blessed be God, the God. He is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the spiritual blessings are bestowed upon us by whom? By the gracious Holy Spirit. So this is an amazing Trinitarian verse, opening a praise in the most Trinitarian book of the Bible. Ephesians is really a great Trinitarian book. So you want to understand Trinity, don't go anywhere. It's all here for you in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I have a few number of headings, and I won't tell you how many, but let's look at the first one. It's here. We won't go anywhere. We stick to the verse, and if I may plead with you, have your eyes just on the verse. It is so packed. I will do my best to unpack it for the small time we have before us. The first thing is the action of blessing. The action of blessing. Look at it into it. That first word, blessed be. And you can see the be there, the verb to be is in italic, which means it's not in the Greek text. But blessed, that's really the action which we are called unto. As I said earlier, this is the beatitude, the heavenly beatitude, the divine beatitude. But it's very different than the beatitude you find in Matthew chapter 5. You remember Matthew chapter 5, where you find 8 or 9 beatitudes, starting with the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's not the same word here. The word here could be translated praise is, or adored. That's another word. But we don't have even to think twice because we have the word in English. The word blessed here is the word to eulogize, eulogy. What does it mean? You have the word logos inside, and it means to speak highly, to speak great words, precious words, valuable words, honorable words. Oh, my dear friends, please think about it. What kind of world are we in today? People are taking the name of God in vain. They are swearing the name of God day after day. You meet people, they cannot say really 2 sentences without swearing. But look at what the verse says. Blessed, praise, eulogize, speak highly, speak a good word about God. That's what, that's the attention, my dear friends. You know what salvation does when somebody is saved? True salvation begins with worship. That's what is important for a believer. Are you saved? The first thing God is asking you to do is to worship him. But my dear friends, worship begins with God. You see the verse? Blessed be the God. It begins with God. Normally with you and me, most of time it's God give me, God bless me, God protect me. But it doesn't start that way. True worship begins with God. Oh, may I show it to you here? You have verse 3. That is a praise verse. But look down in verse 6. 4 times in just 14 verses, Paul is drawing our attention about the purpose of salvation. Why did God save you? Why did he save me? The first thing, he saved us to worship him and to praise him. Then in verse 6 you have to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 12, look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Look at verse 14. Unto the praise of his glory. So four times he's drawing our attention. What are you doing with your life? Oh, my brothers and sisters, worship according to the Bible must be intentional. It must be conscious. That's why we worship the Lord with a sober and sound mind, because worship involves our minds, our hearts, our lips, but also our wholeheartedness. It's important, sincerity. That's the meaning of worship. And you remember with Job, we don't have time to turn there, but in Job chapter 1, verse 20, we read that Job, after all the calamities, after all the horrible things that happened to Job, we are told that Job rose up, he shaved his head, he fell upon the ground, and he worshiped God. And in verse 21, he said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the Lord. My dear friends, that is what Paul is calling us to do today. Whatever we have lost, whatever joy we are experiencing. And remember, as I said, this is a man in prison. He's attached in chains with two soldiers, one at, as we read, or what tradition says, one at his right, one at his left. He didn't have freedom of movement. But the first thing he's telling us is to have that conscious and willing full desire to worship God. If you have that, your salvation is indeed a reality. Because to worship God in truth and in spirit, in an age, in a world which has lost any sense of awe, the importance of worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, but also with fear. A day began in worship is a happy day. People ask me, how can I have a happy week? How can I have a happy day? You wake up in the morning, the first thing, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last thing you do tonight, you put your head on the pillow, praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord. And you know what Psalm 150 says? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I love an expression, you know it, it comes out so many times in the Old Testament, and it says many times, praise ye the Lord. So this is the first thing we find in this verse. The action of the blessing is worship and praise to the triune God. We worship the Lord. He is our Father. And the focus is not upon the blessing. That's also something we have to learn. Many people, the blessing, all our attention, all our focus is upon the blessing. No, the blessing is nothing. Our focus is upon the blesser, upon God who gives everything to his people. He gave us salvation. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father gave us the Holy Spirit. I must come to the second one. Really, even in that first one, there is more to say. But look at the second one. We spoke about the action of the blessing. But look at the source of the blessing. The source, the originator of the blessing you and me have. Blessed be. Look at the definite article there. Not just any kind of God, not a God, but the God, the only God. And this God is qualified, my dear friends. Do you see that? It is qualified. In a world where so many, I believe, even in religious countries where people have not yet denied the existence of God, when people speak about God, it's a different God. This is the God. And he's qualified. We are told he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, God is first of all the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important. And he is our Father because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to make that transition. He is first of all the Father. And you remember in the ontologic trinity, meaning in the being of God, the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all equal, equal in his essence, equal in nature, equal in power, equal in everything. The triune God. And you can see here the unity and the harmony in the Trinity. Christ is represented. The Father is represented. The Holy Spirit is represented. I will show it to you in a moment. But let me come back to that word. Blessed be the God and Father. He is our Father. You know Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, Luke chapter 11. When you pray, Christ said, say, our Father which art in heaven. He is our Father, my dear friends. He is your Father tonight. If you have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, are you downcast? Are you discouraged? Are you lacking assurance? He is our Father. My Father, we can say, we can approach him as our Father. And that's a great privilege. It is a blessing upon a blessing given to us tonight. But look at the work of that Trinity. I will just give you the verses. We don't have time to go through them. But the work of the harmonious and unified Trinity, the three persons are here represented. Verse 3 to 6, if you are taking notes, you can study it for yourself later. Verse 3 to 6, I can even remove verse 3 because the whole Trinity is represented there. But the work of the Father in verse 4, 5, and 6. Look at, the Father is the sender. The Father is the initiator. The Father is the provider. The Father is the planner. He planned everything. Of course, there is the harmony again. In verse 7 to 12, you find the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. And in verse 13 and 14, you can see the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is marvelous when you read verse 13 and 14. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Do you see that? My dear friends, we are not monotheists like Muslims. We are not monotheists like Jews. We do not believe in the same God like the Jews. We do not believe in the same God like the Muslims. We are Trinitarians. That's amazing. We are Trinitarians, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Without Trinity, no salvation. That's important. The Father planned it. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for it. The Holy Spirit applies it. He applies the work of grace in our lives. So that's why you can be a child of God, because the Holy Spirit comes and he reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And here is a dust, a poor, a miserable sinner, doomed and condemned. And he's risen from the dead. And he becomes not just a child of God, but an adopted child of God, meaning that he will never lose that position. My dear friends, that's the importance of adoption. You will never lose that position. If you struggle with assurance, think, God is my Father. So he is our Father. And the fact that he is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit removes every confusion. There is no confusion. But I must come to the third one. Look at the recipients of the blessing. The action of the blessing, worship God, bless God. But the source is the triune God in all harmony and unity. But look at the recipients. And it says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You know, three times you find the word blessed, blessed, and blessings. Three times. He has blessed us. It is in the past tense. You see, it is as good as done already. Our blessings are ours even now. You don't have to wait next year. You don't have to wait to be in heaven. These are yours now because of Christ's sake. And this is amazing again. You can rejoice for that. It is for us, not for everyone. It is not true that God is the father of everyone. No, he's only the father of his children. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. How do we become children of God? By believing in him, by receiving in him, not by the will of man, not by blood, not by anything we can do, but it is by God we become children of God. It is for us the blessings, not for everyone. Oh, my dear friends, this is about this, the priesthood of all believers. No believer is better blessed. No believer is better saved than any other believer. That's why there is no jealousy between us. There is no jealousy between us. When I look at you, when you look at me, what do I see? What do you see? Brothers and sisters from the same family. God is our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. The Word of God is our sword of the Spirit. The church is our family. Prayer is our breathing. You see, these are marvelous things given to us free of charge. He has blessed us, not everyone. You know, we speak about special grace, about common grace. This is special grace given to us only to the people who have trusted and believed and repented from their sins and have trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else. It is for us, and we give thanks to the Lord for that. The whole package coming, all the blessing coming are for us. But I must come to the fourth one. The fourth one, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spirit. Look at the scope. Look at the quality. Look at the nature of our blessings. With all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Our blessings are not material. The prosperity gospel is deceiving people. The prosperity gospel is another gospel. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, they are spiritual, meaning they come from heaven and they are from the Holy Spirit. I do not have time, but if I may plead with you later tonight or this week in your personal devotions, please go through Ephesians 1:1-14 and just count your blessings there. I listed for myself at least 30 of them, 30 blessings. All of them are given to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. And you know what is happening? They are spiritual. And they are for you even now. When you do that, please look at the nouns. Look at the verbs. Look at the adjectives. Look at the adverbs. It's all about your spiritual blessings. And as I said earlier, when it comes to material, we Christians are considered and should be considered to be the poorest in this world. But we have been given the unsearchable heavenly riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all for us. And it's not a sip. It's not a dip. God is generous, my dear friends. God is generous. It is a cascade after cascade of blessings given to us. Think about any trial you are going through today. There is an equivalent spiritual blessing given to you by God. And those blessings will help you in your trials. They will help you in your doubts. They will help you in temptations. They will help husbands to love their wives. They will help wives to love their husbands. They will help parents to love their children and vice versa. They will help you to witness to your neighbor because you love him. The blessings here are instrumental. You know, love is full of good works. If we love him, we obey him. That's what the command of the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. Oh, if I may read to you Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Look at it. God will bestow upon you many answers. And here it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Romans 8:31. He did not spare his only begotten son. He gave him for us. Why would he stop to give us anything spiritual, we ask? And you find the list of 17 things, and nothing will separate us from the love of God. Christ said, if we who are wicked, we know how to give good things to our children, what about when we ask our Father, what would he give us? He will give us the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ said. We do not receive because we do not ask. My dear friends, if I have lost you, the first one is the action of blessing. The second is the source of our blessing, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God. The third is to look at the recipients. Who are the recipients? Us, the believers only. The fourth is to look at the scope, the nature, and quality of our blessings. They are spiritual. Without these spiritual blessings, you may have gold and silver, but you are the poorest man in the world. May I ask you, as I ask myself, do I really live up to my blessings? Do my life matches with the blessings I have? May I also ask myself and ask you, please, my dear friends, do you see anything miserable in this verse? Do you see anything gloomy in the verse? No, it's all joyful. Of course, it's not about having a plastic joviality smile. That's not what we mean. But a Christian is marked, a church is marked, even our God. John chapter 15, verse 11, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. We have been saved. And John says, these things have I written unto you, so that your joy may be full. Joy is a command. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. What is the hallmark of a Christian? Joy should mark his life. We are not miserable people. The world may see us as miserable. That's fine. But we know, we have the joy of God in us. But my dear friends, look at the fifth element in the verse here. It is about the origin and the location of the blessing. And we are told, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. The Greek actually says, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. That's why you have it in italic in our King James Version. In the heavenlies. Where are our blessings? What is their location? What is their place? They are in heaven. Heaven is the place, the only address. You cannot buy them in a shop. You cannot find them on a shelf. You cannot go to the bank and ask, oh, can I have the blessings? I have enough money to buy them. No, nothing you can provide. Nothing I can do. They come from heaven. They are given to us by God himself, by the triune God. These are all our blessings. And they come from God's abode. And that's where our citizenship is. My dear friends, before I close with the last one, is this not a reason for you and me to store up our treasures where? In heaven. Where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there your heart. Where is our treasure? In the things of this world. Remember, gold and silver will just fade away. Beauty will fade away. Youth will fade away. This world is going to be consumed with fire. But these blessings, they are good, they are pure, they are spiritual, they are heavenly, and they will never fade away. But look at finally, our blessings, the channel of the blessing in Christ. In Christ, we can spend really a good study just with that word, in. That's the climax, actually, in all the letter of Paul. all the blessings, we have them in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and they are all available for us right now, free access by faith in Christ. And if I may complicate it more for you, I told you, check your blessings, count them. If I may ask you again, please, when you study, underline. I have done it in my Bible here. Wherever it says in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in Him, I think you find 14 times just in these 14 verses. Everything we have is in Christ, because of Christ, and only in Christ. All treasures for the Christian are deposited by virtue of Christ, not in Adam anymore. In Adam we die, not in Moses, but in Christ. Oh, this is the climax in Christ and the key to all joy, hope, and service, worship, achievement, and fulfillment. We are in Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it's verse 21, it says there, we are in Christ and all things are ours. All things are ours because of Christ. All God promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus for us. All God's promises are for us as His people. So you can trust the Lord. You can cleave to the Lord. When you think about anything in your Christian life, think about Christ. Even heaven, my dear friends, when you think about heaven, don't think it's a nice place to be. No, it's Christ. I want to see Christ there. That's where I want, with Him, to see Him. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, we shall see Him face to face. And whoever has that hope, let him purify himself as he himself is pure. So we need to live that holy life before we come to the saving, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you think you are? What is your identity? If you are outside Christ tonight, may I say you are nobody. Nobody. No Christ, no blessing. No Christ, no salvation. Oh, will you keep this blessing just for self or on a shelf? Will you not want others to know about them, to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? With privilege, as I said, comes responsibility. Being so blessed, what do we want? We want others also to taste that the Lord is good. We want them to be partakers of these blessings by the gospel. My dear friends, this is our song. This is our praise. And if I may say, this is even our motto. So as you close your Bible tonight, as you even switch off tonight, think, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's close our time together by our last hymn. Hymn number 400.